On page 97 of the New Testament, St. John's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Page 97. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who'd seen him before as a beggar said, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." And others said, "No, but he is like him." He said, "I am the man." They said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. While we're sitting or standing, let us pray. Heavenly Father, please give us good understanding of your word today. Speak to us out of that word and give us wills that long to obey your will. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we come to the second in this series of three in good news from John, from John's Gospel. And it is indeed very good news that comes to us today. Christianity is all about Jesus, who he is and what he's come to do. And John in this Gospel focuses our mind on certain pieces of evidence so that we'll be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that we'll believe in his name. And he brings together certain pieces of very extraordinary pieces of evidence about Jesus. Seven of them, as a matter of fact. If you're not going to be convinced by seven, what's the use of giving you 14? In fact, any one of them would be good enough, in my opinion. And the one that comes before us today is absolutely extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. If you look across at chapter 8 and verse 12, you will see that Jesus had already said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's extraordinary, isn't it? Listen while I say it again. "I am the light of the world." Has it ever occurred to you to say anything like that? Might have said it late at a party one night, while they all fooled around, while they all fell on the ground in shrieks of laughter. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's never once occurred to me to say anything like that. I am the only person in the world who understands what life is about. And if you follow me, you'll understand what it is about. Conversely, if you don't follow me, you'll never get your act together. And it's extraordinary, isn't it? He's saying life is about me. Life is about following me. That's what makes life life. "And I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. And it focuses upon me," says Jesus. It's a good question, the question about what life is about, isn't it? What is it about? Is it about making money? You would think so. I don't pass judgment on this country. But in my country, you would think it was what life was all about. It certainly appears to be what life is about. For it is no doubt assuming the enormous amount of effort and energy on behalf of people. But you know deep down in sober moments it cannot be about that. 18 months ago my sister-in-law died with cancer. It became apparent to me in the week before her death, as I observed my brother and my nephews, that where the decimal point came and the comma assumed absolute irrelevance at that moment. It didn't matter. And if you said to him today, does it matter? The answer is, it is not what life is about. It cannot be. A friend of mine, I was about to call her a girl, I trained with her at Teachers College. I guess she's my age, 58. Some girl. I went to visit her in a hospital. I was told that she was there. I bumped into this friend of mine. We trained at Teachers College. She said, did you know Joy Bray is in North Shore Hospital? I said, no. He said, I'd go and visit her if I were you, and I did. She was asleep when I got there. I sat on the chair. She woke up. John Chapman, she said, how'd you find me? I said, what's it matter? I'm so sorry to find you in this condition. This is what she said. My doctor has said, put your affairs in order. And the chaplain said to me, are you ready to meet God? And I tell you now, it doesn't matter a jot where the decimal point is. It doesn't matter how many figures are in front of that comma. Not now. We're at a fundamental moment. What is it about? What is it about? You got resources to handle that moment. Jesus says, I am light for the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. One of the men in my church said that their family doctor rang them up and said, Bruce, It is essential that you and Jeanette should come and see me as soon as possible. And he said, we made an appointment and we sat down on the chair opposite his desk. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you that Jeanette's leukemia is of the most aggressive form. Have you got the wherewithal to handle life at that moment? Can you say, I know what it is about? And there are some fundamental moments when we come face to face and saying, is what I'm doing the sort of thing that will equip me for life on the broad sweep? Have you got resources against that moment? Jesus says, I am light for the world. What is it all about? Well, it is a bold claim to say, I know what life is about and I can impart that knowledge to you. Can Jesus deliver the goods? That's a good question, that one, isn't it? And there follows hard upon it this lovely story of the man with congenital blindness. Never ever has he seen. It is one thing to have seen and gone blind, where you've got a memory to recall, but never to have seen, ever, was the lot of this man. When people talked about the sunset, he was in a world that knew nothing of it. No matter what it was, if it required sight, when people said, look at that, it was a waste of time. They were in a world of which he knew nothing about. They were in a world which he could not live in. And Jesus walks by. He encounters Jesus and life is never the same again. That is the way it is with Jesus. Never the same again. You'll go frontwards or backwards from this day onwards. You were here last week. You either took a step forward or a step backwards. But no, you did not stay in the same place. It is not possible to meet Jesus and stay where you were before. And here he is begging, and they have a little theological argy-bargy around him. I always feel a bit sorry for this man, don't you? Have you ever been in that situation where people speak about you as if you're not there? My aunt was always doing it. I have a little theological argy-bargy. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Aren't you glad they did? He said, neither. Neither this man nor his parents, but that God's glory might be revealed. Very difficult for people with deformed children not to believe that they must have been the direct cause of it. And this is a great word to encourage you. Ponder on it. Jesus made clay of the spirit. He said, I am light for the world. Do you understand that? I am light for the world. Spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, put it on the man's eyes. I take it so he can feel when it is gone. And said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He doesn't know what's going to happen. You think it crossed his mind that he'd come back seeing? Certainly wouldn't have crossed mine if I'd been in his position. He went. I can hardly believe the restraint of the Bible writer, can you? He went. He washed. He saw. Well, I think being cured of congenital blindness is a big deal, really. Don't you? Good job I wasn't a Bible writer, you see. We'd have had a few more pages on it. Don't worry, I'll make up for it in the sermon. He went, he washed, he came back seeing. Here is the beginning of the evidence. I am light for the world. You know you cannot pull that off. But we are viewing God in his world, assuring us today that he will flood your life with his light so that you will be able to say, I know what it is about and I am not mistaken. He is light for the world. He came back seeing. It's a beautiful picture of what Christ will do to the spiritually blind. Now, you remember last week I spoke about the new birth, and I said when you are not born again, it's really hard to try and imagine that world. And I'm going to say that spiritual blindness is like that. It is a mark of the spiritually blind that they don't see. And so as I let me try and describe what the spiritual blindness is like. The spiritually blind person has in their own mind moved God off center stage. They may not have done that consciously, but for their life, Christ does not occupy center place. He is not in center stage. And having been moved off center stage, guess who's moved onto the center stage? Well, you don't have to be a genius to know. I move onto center stage. And being in the limelight in center stage, I now play the role of God. The mark of the spiritually blind person is that they have set themselves up to be their own authority for life. And they please themselves. And sometimes they do it in the grossest forms. It is estimated in Australia at the present moment that 1 in 3 girls have been sexually molested by their fathers or their brothers. 1 in 3. I read of wives being bashed and of children being physically assaulted. I read of people who cheat other people. Now, when I talk about gross sin like that, it shocks us. But the person who does it is acting in center stage, and irrespective of what it does to other people, they will please themselves. And if we look at it in its most blatant form, we'll see our own potential in center stage. Because that is what I did when I was in center stage, didn't you? I did whatever I liked.
irrespective of what it did to other people. I played at God. That is the mark of spiritual blindness. And you may have highly sophisticated sins, or terribly gross ones. And there'll be people here listening to me now for whom either of those is a reality. And I'm saying I've got very, very good news. You needn't stay in the realm of the spiritually blind. And you might be the sort of person, and you've met those who've come out of that dark world. Someone's brought you today, and you've recognized that Christ in their life has caused them to live in a world of which you are really a stranger. And like I said last week, it's hard to imagine what it could be like to be born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus says, I will come to the congenitally blind in the spirit world. No, he says, I tell you today, go, wash, and see. What is it that Jesus has done? He has died and risen again, taking the punishment our sins deserve, so that you and I could make a fresh start today. It is possible, that in exactly the way this happened in the physical realm, Christ will do it to those in the spirit realm who are still in the dark. Now you'll know, quickly just in your own mind, ask yourself, where is it that you want Christ to be on the stage of your life? Have you moved back into the wings yourself to let him be on the centre stage where it is his place to be? Or is he still shoved out in the side? And today will be a great day to say, Lord Jesus, flood my life with your presence, so that I'll know what it is to know what life is about, and I'll start to live it with you right there at the centre. A woman came up to me, an elderly lady, beautifully groomed. She said, you don't know me, but whatever it is my son Philip has, I must have it. Well, I said, do I know your son Philip? She said, I don't know, but you sound as if you know what he's got. You don't mind me saying so, I thought it would have been better if she'd asked Philip. I said, well, tell me what has happened. And Philip was there in the crowd. He said, Mum, I have told you. The difference is, I've said to the Lord Jesus, come into my life, flood it with your presence. Forgive me for sin. Bring about the new birth. Make me new. Well, I said, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? She said, is he telling the truth? I said, how would I know what's happened to him? I can tell you what's happened to me. And that's happened to me. And it can happen to you. And it can happen to you and you and you. I am light for the world. Do you live in that world? That world where Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I wish we had time to read on about what happens from now on. You'd have thought this would be a great day in the life of this man, wouldn't you? The day that he starts off as blind as a bat and ends up by seeing with 20/20 vision. I would have thought that would be a great day. If I had 20/20, it would be a miracle. Well, all the fat goes in the fire. Everybody denies the evidence. Nobody will believe him. On the way back, they say, is not this the man who used to beg and was blind? They said, looks like him. Others said, how could it be? He is seeing. He said, I am the man. See, straight away they start to deny it. It's a Sabbath day, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you just know it? It's a Sabbath day. The Pharisees, they're up for grabs. Yep, they bring him before. They say, what has happened to you? The man called Jesus made clay of the spittle work. Well, he said, I wasn't really thinking about work. No, he said, that's the trouble with you lot. You don't think, do you? Well, tell us what happened. He said, I went and washed and I came back seeing. I said, what do you make of all that? Well, he said, I put my money on him being a prophet at least. Well, I'm sorry, that is very bad. I think he's a prophet. Shove him outside the door, bring his parents in. The evidence is again denied. They say, is this your son? Listen carefully. Is this, talk about leading the witness, is this your son who you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? The man has waited 25 years to see his parents. I think he waited in vain. They pull the plug out on him. They say, evidence. He is our son. Evidence. He was born blind. How he now sees, when the faintest idea, ask him, he is of age. Not too much help. Bring the man back in again. Is this not frightening? To see what people do with the evidence. Can I say, if you've swept the evidence under the carpet with your friends by saying, well, they're sort of psychological cripples, they need help. It is not that. You say, they're the sort of people who believe. It is not that. It is that Christ has dealt with them. And they've come to terms with the true world. I beg you not to sweep that under the carpet. Watch them day in and day out. And see if it is not a true quality of life, which is exactly the way they describe it. They've come in touch with the living God. They say, tell us again what happened. I think, like me now, he is completely fed up with them. He said, I've already told you. I don't have anything more to say. Do you wish to become his disciples? Well, the fat is completely in the fire now. They say, you're altogether born in sin. Nothing like grabbing the high ground in the discussion, isn't it? You ignorant rat, you don't know what you're... I'm sorry, that's very Australian. You never know anything. You're altogether born in sin. And will you instruct us? He is a sinner. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I'm going to tell you something. Has it ever been known since the foundation of the world that a man with congenital blindness has been healed? And you don't know where he has come from. That's terrible blindness, isn't it? I will not believe. You say that in your heart, whatever he says today, I'm not going to change my mind. Know that you are stone blind. If you ever hear that word come to in your mind, whatever happens today, I'll go with it, to keep it quiet. But whatever happens, I'm not going to change. That's got to be as blind as a bat, hasn't it? I tell you, there's a better life to be had than that. Jesus says, go, wash, so that you can see, because I am light for the world. I cannot bear for you to be in the darkness. I want you to know what life is about. I want you to have your sins forgiven. I want you to live in friendship with me. Go. It's possible to do it today. Last week I spoke about, on the back of the sheet, the basic facts. You might be a person who says, I've never even looked at Jesus. I've come today with a friend. I don't know the basic facts. I'm saying, why don't you fill that in and join that group? There are hundreds of places you could put that in. If you fill it in, leave it on the floor. Somebody will pick it up. It'll get in the right place. Put it in the box on the way out. Give it to somebody with a badge. As I said last week, even put it in the garbage bin on the way out there. The staff are always going through that bin. If it's knowledge you're lacking, have a look at basic facts. Come and join the group. But for some of you, it is not knowledge.
there is another problem, and it is totally different from that. It is true blindness. And you say today, is it possible? Look at the evidence. Jesus ferreted out this man right at the very end and said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might put my trust in him?" He said, "I who speak to you am he." And he fell before him and worshipped him. Be a good day for you to do that. Some of you know what it is to have had your eyes opened, to have lived in the light that Jesus brings. Fall before him afresh today and worship him. But there'll be some of you here for which that is brand new, and you're, as it were, groping around, half frightened. You say, "Jesus, will you just shine the light of your presence into my life? Will you cleanse me from the sin so that I can start again with you?" But it'd be a good thing for you to do that today. Why don't you do that? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus into the world, bright, shining brilliance of your glory. We thank you that he is light for the world, and we thank you that by following him we are not in the dark. We want to worship him today, Heavenly Father. We thank you for his death for us so that our sins can be forgiven. And Lord Jesus, we want to grope for those who are in the dark and say, please flood our life with your light. Amen.